Well, welcome to podcast number 3. I'm with Stuart Milson, my classical music friend and reviewer, and myself, Richard Dove. And I'll leave Stuart to tell you where we are.
Well, we are in an extraordinary place, unlike anywhere else, I think, in England. We're standing by the Royal Military Canal in a place called Appledore, which is right on the edge of Romney Marsh. And this area was once where the tide came to. This was the edge of the land. We're about 10 or 15 miles inland now. But Appledore is a village right on the edge of Romney Marsh, and we're standing by the defensive structures from two great wars, the Napoleonic War, which the Royal Military Canal was installed as part of our country's defences. They thought that this would hold up Napoleon, but Napoleon, who crossed all the great rivers of Europe, was not going to be foiled. This was the front line of England in 1940, and there's a pillbox on the opposite bank. So the great dictators, Napoleon and Hitler, neither of them actually got here.
So the canal and the pillbox put them off.
That is the theory of mutually assured destruction. Defence is the greatest shield that you can have, and this was the Royal Military Canal. As you can see, it runs the whole distance across the marsh. Here, in very ancient times, the Vikings would have brought their longships, because this whole area was the sea. But now, of course, you can see the road here, which goes to Snargate and Romney. But despite these modern things, like cars going along the roads, we can feel an atmosphere here of ancient times.
Yes,
and there's a very odd atmosphere. And I think that it's captured in this wonderful book that Walter J.C. Murray wrote. And it's all about Romney Marsh, the sixth continent. And he says the following: "To the south, there is that unmistakable glare in the sky, which means that the sea is not far away. For 6 or 7 miles, the levels below are spread away in a fading jigsaw pattern, till they merge into the haze and their limits are hidden in mystery. Where the Royal Military Canal is not too reed-choked, we can see its waters flash in the sunshine, and we can trace its course by the unending line of elm trees which fringe its banks. There are no towns, and we can discern no villages. A church stands alone in a 20-acre field. The inevitable radar masts loom in the distance. Romney Marsh lies a-dreaming."
And that's where we're off to
now.
And
this is where we're off. This is the border of Romney Marsh. Appledore is the gateway to the marsh.
And you have music. It wouldn't be footnotes without music, Stuart, so we've got some music prepared for us for later.
We certainly have. Our sound producer will be at the ready with wonderful music by the British composers Ralph Vaughan Williams and Gerard Sherman.
Well, we've driven a few miles further into the marsh.
We are at Snargate, and we're looking out at this huge field where there's evidence of a little flooding. In the distance, you can see the North Downs, miles away there, and some of the famous Romney Marsh sheep. We're at Snargate. Now, this is another interesting place off the beaten track. Just at the end of the road is the Red Lion. It's a wonderful experience to go to the Red Lion on a summer's evening, and they will serve you a pint of local bitter on the gravity, because there's hardly any electricity there. No food and no modcons. Very old-fashioned pub, and that's what it's famous for. So the Red Lion is a symbol of the lost pubs of England. But here we're standing by St Dunstan's Church. It's very interesting because a few years ago they were doing various bits and pieces of renovation. They stripped away one of the walls, and incredibly they found a great mural of a Tudor ship on the wall, like the Mary Rose.
Right.
And it transpired that this whole little area, which, as you can see, it's the land. In Tudor times and medieval times, this would have been an area of water channels, and there was evidence of shipbuilding going on here, would you believe? And the presence of the Tudor-era ship, the thinking goes that many of the people who worked in the little dockyards of the marsh, repairing and making boats, would have gone to this church to worship. And it's quite extraordinary that we are miles inland, but that this was once an area of water channels and water margins.
Yes.
Dungeness is in the, where you can see the lovely light, which yes. Walter Murray described in his book, The Coast yes. and Dungeness.
Yes.
And in that direction, St Mary's Bay, Folkestone and Dover.
We can't see the haunting outline of Dungeness nuclear power station yet.
That sinister monolith on the horizon. But it's interesting that you should mention that, because in 1947 a film was made on Romney Marsh called The Loves of Joanna Godden. And Vaughan Williams wrote the music for that film. But when you see the film and you see the seascape and the beachscape that the cameraman captured, you can see Dungeness pre-atomic age, pre-industrialisation. You can see the clear beach, no power station, and that film is a record of our landscape.
I think it's time for some music.
Yes, well, I think we're going to have some Gerard Sherman, because in the 60s there was a film made of Dr. Sin, Patrick McGoohan starred in it, and some of the sequences were actually shot on Romney Marsh. Gerard Sherman, modern British composer, wrote an absolutely dazzling Technicolor score, and I think we'll hear some of that now. It's very much in the realm where the sea meets the sky meets the land. It's an extraordinary spot. And just looking, you can obviously see the cars going along the main road to New Romney. But you notice that the road that we drove along was raised all the way. In days gone by, this was the causeway that went across the marsh. And it was actually called the Ree Wall. I gather that the derivation of the word Romney comes from an ancient English word, an old English word meaning watery place. But we're at the Church of St. Clement's at Old Romney, which is one of the marsh's really ancient churches, 12th century church. This was actually used in the film about the smuggler Dr. Sin, which Patrick McGoohan starred in.
So Danger Man has been here.
Danger Man and the Prisoner.
And the Prisoner. He's walked down this path.
Yes, he's not a number, he's a free man.
He's a free man, yeah. This is before he was a number.
That's right. But you can just see the way that the wind from the sea has shaped those trees. They're all bent and leaning in one way. So it's a very elemental place. And I think that the music of Vaughan Williams works very well here.
I feel some Vaughan Williams coming on.
I can hear the Eighth Symphony.
What, the first movement?
The first movement, which is a strange, mysterious... The work almost just trickles into life. There's no martial beginning. It sort of edges its way, like water just trickling along on the paving stones of the church. A strange atmosphere all the way through the work.
Whilst we head to the beach, let's have some Vaughan Williams.
London Symphony Orchestra, Bryden Thompson, conductor. Thank you. St Mary in the Marsh. We're getting towards the middle, the centre of this landscape of sheep fields and lost waterways. And St Mary in the Marsh is like the St Clement's at Old Romney. It's one of the great marsh churches, which I can imagine in the 1920s and 30s, many of the cycling clubs that used to exist in those days would ride out here to see this wonderful landscape. Just looking around us, we've got white and grey clouds and some blue in the sky and a faint trace of sunlight, which gives us a feeling, certainly gives me a feeling, of being back in time. Somebody just walking over there to the Star Inn, which in the days before COVID and the lockdown, it would have been full of people having their winter porter and their summer session ale. But here we are.
You remember David Cameron famously bought a sort of Romany caravan to serve as his writing retreat for his autobiography. Yes. Just look over there.
It's an early version.
Cameron must have seen it.
Well, I wonder if Edith Nesbit ever used it, because Nesbit, the author of the famous Railway Children, is commemorated and lies in this peaceful church. And it's interesting that E. Nesbit came here, because this is also a place of lost railways. The Romney Hythe and Dymchurch Railway runs across the marsh. You can still see, if you go to the top of the old lighthouse at Dungeness, you can see a faint trace in the landscape where the old Southern Railway used to run. This was a wonderful line that went from Appledore, where we started, and the line went all the way down to Dungeness and through to New Romney, and then the monstrous beaching came along and ripped it all up. So another part of England's heritage destroyed wantonly. But there still is a sense of the old railways of the past still on this marshland. And we'll cross over the Romney Hythe and Dymchurch line on our way to Dungeness.
We'll go from beaching to the beach.
Splendid idea.
Well, Stuart, we've arrived on the beach with the genuine sound of shingle.
Yes, the Pebble Peninsula itself of Dungeness, which I often think of it as the Land's End of southern England, the shingle tip. It extends out into the channel. The waters here are very, very deep. And do you know, at one time, the Southern Railway had this idea of turning Dungeness into a channel port because of the deep waters here.
Right.
So instead of
the trains would come right into
That was one of the ideas that the Southern Railway had. And there is just a fragment left of that line here today. As you can see, there's a little bit of industry going on, some shingle excavation in the distance there. And you've got the clutter of the fishermen's huts and metal containers that they've got where they keep the tackle and rope. The filmmakers and TV executives have flocked down here. I think it's because of the influence of the filmmaker Derek Jarman, who lived here at Prospect Cottage.
There's the Romney Hythe and Dymchurch train, look.
Yes, it must be a COVID express going across the landscape. I don't think there are many people on it. It's being hauled, by the look of it, by a diesel locomotive.
There's nobody on it.
No, it's a ghost
train. Except blokes in fluorescent jackets. Quite a few of those.
The Romney Hythe line is a real wonder. It's survived here for so long, and it's going along. You can just see the train passing by the power station. And there you have the what's called the old lighthouse. So if you have your tea at the railway station, you can go to the top of the old lighthouse and look out across the expanse of the marshes. There is the modern lighthouse that's still in operation. But if you just look to the left of the old lighthouse, you'll see a white building, and that is the old Trinity House structure where the lighthouse keepers would be stationed. That building is actually in the film The Loves of Joanna Godden that we mentioned at the beginning, and it doubles up as a tea house. There's a great scene where Joanna Godden and her suitor, they come out to Dungeness Beach, and it's a sunny day, and he decides to go swimming. She falls asleep. But of course, the deep water and the tide take him out to his death. And she wakes up in a panic on Dungeness Beach, and all that's there is the sea and the shingle and the silence. Even though Dungeness is much more built up than it was in the days of that film. There really is a sense of loneliness out here, that you're cut off, and that the strange, maybe sterile is the wrong word, but it's this shingle and the pylons leading to the power station, and you almost think that John Pertwee's Doctor Who is going to appear from it. It's quite a science fiction sort of landscape. I mean, the power station has its own sort of grandeur in the bleakness of it all, but there's a wonderful cloud formation all around us, and you can just see over that little ridge of shingle the tips of some of the channel shipping as it goes past.
Yes, they don't seem to be on deep water, though. They seem to be part of the landscape.
Yes, it's extraordinary, isn't it? That container ship just moving along as if it was something on the land, but of course it's way out on the ocean.
Well, we'll leave you then, and we'll leave our listeners. Goodness knows where we'll be next time, but you've got some music for us to play out to.
Yes, we had the opening of the Vaughan Williams Eighth Symphony just earlier, and the breathtaking finale to this work, it seems to me to be completely, almost indissolubly linked to this strange grandeur. And here is the last few moments of Vaughan Williams Symphony No. 8 as we survey Dungeness.